Where you at? Where's Brother Brown? There you are. I got to preach with you a year and a half ago, I believe, at camp there, Illinois. And, of course, I don't know if you remember this. I feel old when I come to this conference. Because, first of all, Brother Russell and I were talking. The redhead that was playing the piano, Rihanna, was a baby the first time I preached the conference here. And she turns 20 in about 2 weeks. And then I remember preaching at one time when my soon-to-be 14-year-old, the baby, was born. And that was when you were in Owensboro. That was in Danville. Then it was in Owensboro. And then, of course, now we're here in Evansville. And, Brother Brown, I don't even know if you remember this. I was preaching revival for Rick Koontz, Faith Baptist Church. Of course, at that time, it was Mid-America Baptist Church. And the Epleys were singing. And you came down. We had dinner together. You were still, like, trying to date and win over court. I don't know whatever words you could court, you know, Independent Baptist Court. Charity. Charity's your first name, right? Your wife's first name. And y'all were still single then. That makes me feel old. Now he's married. He got seven kids. I'm like, what? He has seven kids? I remember him as the kid trying to come impress her. I mean, just time flies, you know. Time just flies. But I say all that to say this. The skit you saw, Brother Stephen Russ, Brother Jared Russ, Brother Andrew Russ. I preached to them when they were little boys. I mean, boys, literally, like young, preteen boys. And now to see them serving the Lord, man, they sat exactly where you sat. And they are breaking the normal trend of second-generation Christian, as we just heard preach, as is Brother Brown, showing young people you can't have the fire and passion for the Lord. No excuses, man. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And then, Brother Tim Russ, I love you. I appreciate you so much. You've been such a dear friend for so many years. And he did let me come back and preach in the town that I got, that I was a football player. We won two state championships there, and I ended up playing a one-year college ball, and I ended up getting saved. And Brother Russ let me come back and preach to my people in that city where I was a public high school kid. So let me find out on that note who all is here tonight. How many are public school kids tonight? Public school kids. All right, public school kids. Those are my people right there. I was born and raised public. Well, born in a hospital, but I grew a public school kid all my life. I love public school kids. I don't love them any more than this group of kids, right? Christian school kids. Where are the Christian school kids? You got Christian school kids? Wonderful. I love you guys just as much because my wife is a Christian school kid, and she was K through 12, Christian school kid. And then there's that crowd I love just as much. The homeschoolers, where are you at? Wow. They're always the loudest because they can take snow days in May, you know. They'd be eating a big old bowl of Fruit Loops while they're watching their videos. I've walked by my kids many times watching their videos like this. Oh, yeah, Grant, Claire, you're really watching school, aren't you, right? But I don't tattletale, man. They sit up when mama comes by. They know daddy ain't going to do nothing about it because I'm the principal, right? So, but I love homeschool kids, too, because I got four of them. So I was a public school kid. My wife's a Christian school kid. My kids are all homeschooled. We have all three educations in my house. We're a very confused family. I promise you that right now, so. But anyway, some of you may not know why I was signing, and I'll just take a few minutes to say that because I always feel burdened to share that thought. My parents are deaf. I saw them this morning before we left. I had to take our dog over to his house and drop him off. And my parents are deaf. My grandparents were deaf. My great-grandparents were deaf. My sister's deaf. I have a deaf niece. I have deaf aunts and uncles. I have deaf cousins. Five generations of deafness in my family. We even had a deaf dog when I was growing up. And that dog knew more sign language than most of you guys do. He knew some sign language. And so I grew up in a deaf home. And people always think it's so funny. They'd be like, wow, Brother Randy, you grew up in a deaf home. I mean, not the house was deaf. The people in the house are deaf, right? You know, some like, oh, I didn't know homes were deaf, right? There's a blonde. No, I can't say blonde anymore. That's politically correct. No, it is not a quiet place at all. Deaf people are the loudest people on the planet. Why? Because they can't hear themselves making noise. Somebody asked me the other day, what is it like, you know, when your dad and mom had a fight? I said, my dad said he loved it because when he got tired of fighting, he just turned off the lights. Can't talk in the dark, right? So it's pretty awesome, man. And praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I was on a more serious note. Brother Brown was talking about how God has us all for purposes. My mom tells me the story that when I was 2 or 3 years old, I sat on her lap and put my hands on her ears and asked God to heal her. I don't remember this. I must have seen a Benny Hinn crusade or something. I don't know, but I remember, and I wrote a book about it recently. It's on Amazon. It's called Heart Language. We had it last year. We forgot to bring it today, but you can check it out. It's a book about faith and family, my experiences growing up in a deaf home, and you can get it on Amazon. So plug there. But I remember thinking as a little kid, why did I have deaf parents, you know? When God saved me at 18 years old, God has used these hands to lead hundreds and hundreds of deaf people to Christ. That's why. That's why, Brother Brown. That's why. And it's not a brag on me at all. It's what God had planned for my life. And I'm so thankful for that. I'll be preaching a couple deaf awareness Sundays this spring, a couple deaf conferences this summer, sometimes a deaf camp, and it's amazing. And it's just a great culture and appreciate it. And some of you were signing to me earlier tonight. Some of the bakers over here learned a little sign language, and appreciate that. And don't forget the deaf, no matter where you are. They're the third most unreached people group on the planet, number one most unreached people group in America. Wikipedia says they are the only known culture on the planet with no native homeland. Because every culture has deaf people. There's deaf people living on the continent of Africa. There's deaf people in South America. There's deaf people here in the United States of America. There's deaf people in Russia. There are deaf people everywhere. And so pray about them, think about them, and learn sign language. Amen. That'd be a blessing. So praise the Lord for that. It's good to see Dr. R here. Every Saturday I get an encouraging text from Dr. Rasmussen, and I appreciate men of God who are more seasoned than I am. It'll encourage a younger preacher, and good to see you, many of you other preachers and workers here with the Frost and good friends. I'm afraid to start naming names, but sure love and appreciate meetings like this because you come back and say, hey, man, they're still faithful, right? They're still faithful. And I'm glad we're still here. You know, we had a little bit of snow come in our town two Saturdays ago, and I was thinking, you know, on that Saturday, the Bills were playing the Patriots that weekend. And the Bills, was it the Bills that played the Patriots? They played them, or who did they smack that one round? It was the Patriots. Do you have Patriot fans in here? Patriot fans? Okay. You can get right with God at the altar of Jesus. Hey, who's going to win the Super Bowl, by the way, the Bengals or the Rams? How many are glad the Chiefs are out? How many are disappointed the Chiefs are out? All right. But they were canceling church for that Sunday. You know, all across the bottom screen, you know, they have all this. And I've heard pastors say to me before, you know, Brother Randy, sometimes I feel like I have to cancel because people say I don't care about people if I don't cancel church because of weather. And I thought it was interesting. The NFL doesn't cancel games. We had snow that weekend, and I was like, oh, surely the Chiefs care about their fans. And they don't want all those fans to come in that dangerous weather. But shoulder to shoulder in COVID, shoulder to shoulder, 80,000 people gathered in that Chiefs stadium to cheer people on that won't ever know their name. So I'm glad you didn't cancel. I get some people didn't want to make it, but you're the crazies that still came. So thank you. Thank you. You know what Christians need to be again? Risky. We need to take some dares and plunges. Get out of the boat and try to walk on water. Come on now. Pick up 5 smooth stones and say, I'm going to kill a giant, right? We've gotten so soft nowadays. We're so afraid of things. Come on. Let's get a little bit of that fire back in us again in America. Amen. America desperately needs some young people to be like that again. So let's look at Psalm 78, and I'll be real quick tonight. So let's look at Psalm chapter 78 this evening. And let's stand up real quickly, stretch our legs one more time. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. And then look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad I don't smell like you. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm glad I don't look like you. My youth group did not get to make it this year, but we have one teenager who dared come with the Dignan family, Josh Helton over here. And we call him the Diesel. Our youth group's nickname for him is the Diesel. He's 6'6", 200 pounds of rock muscle, solid muscle. Single, by the way. Wears those fake glasses, look like he's smart. I mean, he's just a stud right here. So good to have Diesel here with us on this trip today. Oh, they're real glasses? Oh, my bad. All right. Let's look at Psalm 78. And so we've initiated him at Dignan until about 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, and then he'll be glad when he gets to be a Helton again, all right? Psalm 78, verse 54. I want to preach you on the thought of beyonder is better than just yonder. Beyonder is not a word. I get it, and I'll explain it in just a second, but that's the title. Beyonder is better than just over yonder, all right? Look at Psalm 78, verse 54. The Bible says, and he, God, brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. Father, help us tonight. We need your help. Lord, some precious hands were raised to waggle for salvation. And I pray, Lord, you'd save those souls tonight. Thank you for the message we already heard, and thank you for being so good to us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. They were so close, so close. They were right on the border. This was the land God had given it to him. The Bible even says he purchased it with his right hand. God had planned for the children of Israel to get into this land. And they came right up to the border, and all they had to do was go beyond. But they didn't. You see, young people, they say every year they introduce new English words to the English dictionary. Several years ago was when the word bling actually became an official word. Bling, bling, right? We know what bling is now, but at one time it was just a made-up word. And this year I looked up some words, and they're finally going to make supposedly a word. Supposedly with a B. There is a word like supposedly, but not supposedly, but we've been mispronouncing that word for so long. Supposedly is going to become a word. They don't know what it's going to mean yet, but we're going to accept supposedly. But if I could make a new English word, I would introduce the word beyonder. I just like that word. Go beyond, beyonder. What is beyonder? It's further than beyond. I mean, then we could go to beyondest, right? In fact, do you realize that Jesus Christ, no matter what we go through in life, he always went a little beyonder. He went further than any of us would ever dare to go. He went to the lowest of lows on crucifixion day, and he went to the highest of highs on resurrection day. So no matter what we go through in life, we will always fall within the spectrum of Jesus Christ's lows and his highs. We will never go lower than Christ went, and we will never go higher than Christ went, which means no matter what we go through in life, Christ can relate to us. What a blessing it is to know that promise. But here it is, Psalm 78. And God brings the children of Israel to the border. He says, this is what I have dreamed for you. This is what I have planned for you. This is what I made you for. This is the land that is yours. And the Bible tragically tells us in verses 56 and 57, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. As we heard Brother Brown just talk about how God has a job, he has something planned for you. Yet tragically, so many people never get to fulfill that plan, that desire God has for them, that must, that work, which is so rewarding, which is so amazing, which is such a blessing, because we just won't go beyond. You see, going beyond is simply getting out of the comfort zone. I have been privileged. I never dreamed. When I was most of your age, I was not even saved. When I was most of your age tonight, I did not even know an independent Baptist existed. When I was 15, 16, 17 years old, I was a public high school kid who went to church every Sunday morning because that's what Americans did in the 90s. I was a football star, was all-state first team, all-star selections, recruited by some Division I schools. Football was my passion. It was my God. I didn't even know what an independent Baptist was. I didn't know anything about a King James Version. I had been given one, but I didn't know what that even meant. I never read my Bible every day. I'd never been around Christian school kids very much. I've never been to conferences and camps like this. Stay with me now. And when I got saved, when I got born again at 18 years old and while I was playing college football and I walked into the church, I was amazed, Brother Russ. As I was going into the church, how many people were going out? I couldn't believe it, Brother Brown. I'm like, wait a minute. This is what I've been looking for all my life. This is the answer I've been searching for. This is the answer to my questions. The Bible, the Word of God, salvation, the gospel, the truth of the words of God, the principles of the Bible. Wow, why are you leaving it? For the longest time, I struggled trying to understand it. By the way, thank God gave me a wife who is a second-generation Christian. And she has gone beyond. And for the longest time, I didn't understand it. Finally, it hit me one day that they just never went beyond. You got to the border, and you made a deal with the devil, and you turned your back on what God had planned for you. I never dreamed God would do what he's done with me in my life. In all the midst of the ministry, I'll be at my church 24 years this May. We're finishing up a brand new gymnasium right now, new office spaces, classes. This will be our second building project. He's allowed me to travel the country, travel other countries, all these blessings. I never dreamed God would do what he's done in my life. I mean, better than I could have imagined. But in all these travels, I as a father, watch this now, have many times tried to make some of our travels, because I've taken my family with me through the years all over this country, to try to maybe do something as a family for fun. My kids have snorkeled and swam in the Caribbean Sea in the Bahamas twice. They've been to Disney World. They've been to New York City. Some of them been to California. Some of them been to Boston. All of them been to Philadelphia. They've been able to see a lot of this country and travel all the place. And I can remember many times as a father, listen, watch this now, planning a trip, wanting to surprise them. They skied at Winter Park in Colorado, and saying to them, man, I cannot wait. Here's the tickets to our plane ride. Here's the tickets to our ski lift. Here's the tickets to Disney World. And taking them right to the border, right to the ski park, right to the doors of Disney World, right to the shore right there where the water is out there that you can snorkel and see crystal clear, beautiful water and fish, and taking them right to the border. And boy, imagine the feeling I'd have had as a father if they would have just looked at me and said, Dad, this is great, but we don't want it. What if they would have said that to me? Boy, you talk about disappointing as a father. Because I had been in those waters. I had been to Disney World. I had been to some of these places. And I knew what awaited for them. I had planned it for them. I was excited about them. And yet so many times we look at God's face and literally when God says all you've got to do is go beyond. All you've got to do is cross over. All you've got to do is take that step of faith. And yet we turn our back and we don't do it. Why? Young person, hey, Brother Brown's exactly right. I couldn't believe when he's preaching this how fitting these messages go together. Watch this now. God has something for you across the border. God has something for you when you go beyond. God has something big for you. He's perched it with his right arm. He's so excited about it. He has plans for you. And yet so many times we miss out. Beyonder is better than just over yonder. See, the devil wants to just go over yonder. But stay on this side. Stay in that comfort zone. Go do your own thing. God says, no, I don't want you to do that. So let me give you three quick reasons why we don't go beyond. And I'm going to give you three reasons why we should real quickly. Number one, selfishness. I don't spend a lot of time on this because Brother Brown already hit it. Look at verse 56 again. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. Watch this now. The Bible says it was all about them. They were selfish. They did not think of their God. How many of us are guilty of that? We think of how it will benefit me, how it will help me. Well, maybe I'll get out of my comfort zone. Everything we do in life, so many times in America today, we're being taught that it's about me, myself, and I. Selfish, selfies, iPhones, iPad, I this, me, myself, and I. And we're in trouble. Selfishness. Real quickly, number two, here's another reason we don't go beyond the border. Watch this. Satan. He doesn't want you to go across the border. The devil dead sure doesn't want you to go across. He has no desire for you to go across. He knows what God has planned for you is better than anything the devil could even dream about offering to us. And he knows that God's plans and God's will for your life and the purposes he has for you will never be exceeded by anything that you could dream up or the devil himself could have. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan is always going to try to devise his way into your life and try to trick you and deceive you and to get you to abandon what God has planned for you. Don't do that, young person. Number three, real quickly, sin. Sin. Yes, sin. Sin will keep you from seeing what God has planned for you. Sin will keep you from the blessings of the Lord. Sin will keep you from seeing what God has dreamed for you and the passion and excitement he has for you. Psalm 78, verse 57. But turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers and were turned aside like a deceitful blow. Can I tell you something today? We are living in a generation that is so soaked with sin. Everything's about sin. We are so self-centered, so thinking about sin. He already mentioned pornography, but the sin of self and the sin of self-worth. Worship and the sins of the lust and sins of all these different things. Sin is rampant in our churches, rampant in our youth groups. God help us today. Last Sunday morning, we had a guest special speaker come speak to us. He runs some children's homes in the state of Missouri, and he gave us some unbelievable stats and statistics about what's going on in our country as far as human trafficking goes. And it's so scary how evil and wicked our country's become. And yet so many Christians today are just turning our head to it. And we're even embracing some of that sin. We're contributing to that sin. Listen to me. If we know we're supposed to stand up and speak up and we're not, we're just as guilty, church. And we need a generation of young people that are not afraid to stand up and say, this is wrong, this is right, this is evil, this is good. Hey, a generation of young people that'll go beyond and say, hey, I want to stand up for Jesus today. So those are the three reasons why we don't go. Selfishness, Satan, and sin. Tonight, I want to give you three reasons why you should go. Why you should go beyond found in the same chapter. We may go some other verses. Number one, I want to teach you a sign tonight. Y'all want to learn some sign language? All right, get your hands ready. I'm going to put the mic down for just a second. It's one of my favorite signs. People ask me all the time, what's your favorite signs? Here's one of my favorite signs. Here you go, ready? You know what that sign is, unless besides a dignan? It's a sign for anticipation. Anticipation. Watch this now. Your facial expressions are very important now. Don't do this.
I don't mean nothing.
There's excitement there. An energy there. It's like, man, I can't wait to see what's going to happen, right? Listen, I'm 46 years old now. That's not old. That's not old. And I still love birthdays. I don't get old people not liking birthdays. If you don't get to your next birthday, you're dead. The alternative is death. Now, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to make it to my next birthday. I'm not a grandpa yet. I hear it's a lot of fun. I can't wait to be a grandpa someday. I can't wait till I have a whole lot more money than I do now. Why do you not have as much money? Because I still have four kids in my house, right? And I love my kids, but one day they'll be gone. And me and my wife will have so much money, we won't know what to do with it. Amen. She'll be spending on all her grandkids, right? Can I get an amen, grandpas? That's what I hear. Hey, Brother Russ back, he says, man, watch this now. Don't miss this now. Anticipation. My wife is a little bit older than me, which means if I'm 46, she's older than 46. When she was about to turn 40, she said, babe, I do not want a surprise 40th birthday. I just want a quiet family party. That's fine. Yes, ma'am. But a lady in my church came to me and said, we want to surprise Miss Janelle. I said, go right ahead. I didn't have to get in trouble for that one. 1 year, 2 months, and 23 days later, I turned 40. A few weeks before that, I called my kids in and said, kids, your dad's about to turn 40. There will be a huge birthday party for me. A big cake, lots of presents, and they better be good presents, man, right? I mean, Christmas, we just had Christmas, right? Listen, you don't have to be a little kid and can't sleep on Christmas Eve. I still like Christmas presents. I still like anticipating those great things. And can I tell you, I've been in the ministry a long time now. I'm not a novice. One of the things that drives me all the time, Brother Russ, is I don't know what's going to happen this Sunday, and I can't wait to see. You say, well, what if nothing really big happens? Then it might next week. And every single Sunday God lets me live might be the Sunday where really we get to see that big time revival. And listen, I believe with all my heart, God wants his people to anticipate again. But we've allowed sin and we've allowed selfishness and we've allowed Satan to distract us from the anticipation. Sign it again. Let me see you sign it. Come on. Anticipate, anticipate, anticipate. God's got something great for you. Anticipate. How many ladies want to get married to a young man someday? Three of you. Okay. Young men, don't look around. I don't mean you're going to marry the men of this conference. Now, does that change your answer? How many young ladies would like to marry a young man someday? Raise your hand, right? How many? Six of you. Wow. Brother Brown, we might have to preach on marriage tomorrow. Here we have a young man walking the aisle. Praise God. You want to get married? Just kidding. Are you maybe seated? All right. How many of you young men want to marry a young lady someday? Help me. Thank you, young men, all right? There's about 12 of you, all right? Listen, listen. Don't worry about picking your spouse. God's got someone for you. You just go beyond. You'll find your wife in the go beyond land. You'll find your husband in the go beyond land. You'll find God's desire and plans for your life in the go beyond land, and it'll be the best you could ever imagine. So here's three reasons why. Number one, real quickly, expectations. Expectations. You have a right as a Christian to expect great things from God. Not because we're anybody special, because of how special God is today. Psalm 78, verse 54, the Bible again says this, and he brought them, God brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. God is saying, I've got a big gift for you. I've got some big plans for you, and you can have huge expectations. And let me tell you something right now. If you anticipate and have big expectations, you will still, watch this, never expectation equal to what God has planned for you. I mean, God's expectations are better for you. You're going to be blown away by what God has planned for you. You just got to make that decision to go beyond, to do that work Brother Brown was talking about, to take that step, to have some passion again. May I say, young men, today real quickly to you, we've lost our passion in our churches. Our young men have lost their passion. We don't have the same passion and energy we used to. Oh, we do sometimes for basketball games and football games. How many of you guys play basketball right now? You play basketball? It's great. My son plays basketball. Diesel plays basketball. I am an assistant coach on our basketball team. Football's my sport, but I like basketball, right? I see these young men get all passionate about it. They sweat and they fight and they try to score and then they come to church and there's nothing. You think you're so cool because you grew your first armpit hair. Bing! And you scored 34 points in a Christian school basketball game. Cool. You want a cookie? I'm not trying to be mean here. Let me take you some places where you play real basketball, and you'll find out how good you think you really are. I'll take you down to some places I used to play ball at. You'll find out you ain't the BMOC. What's that, big man on campus no more? Stay with me now. I'm simply saying the world has continued to give us a list of expectations, and we've become content with the world's expectations, and we've forgotten about the God of our expectations. God's got some expectations for you today. Number one is expectations. Number two, real quick, look at this. Enthusiasm. I feel like sometimes we misportray God. You know God gets excited about stuff. You know God is enthusiastic about stuff. You know God smiles. You know God has passion. We are made in his image. Look at this. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 54, and he brought him again to the border of his sanctuary, even to his mountain, which his right hand had purchased. Enthusiasm. And if God is enthusiastic, then we should too. By the way, do you know what the definition for enthusiasm is in the Webster's 1828 dictionary? Spiritfulness. Spiritfulness. That was the old definition. When Webster was trying to figure out a good way to describe the word enthusiasm, he looked at a spirit-full Christian, a spirit-filled Christian, and said, man, that's a good definition of enthusiasm. You know why? A spirit-full Christian is excited about the things of life, excited about the things of God, has a passion for the things of God, does not let the world deter them, says, you know what? There's circumstances out there that I cannot control, but bless God, I know there's some things I can control, and the Holy Spirit, may he help control my life. And as you have that enthusiasm and excitement and passion, God begins to show you great things and give you great things. It's amazing when some people get enthusiastic about the things of God today. And I know how it is in youth groups nowadays. I've been at this a long time. You're sixth grade. Mr. Rush, are you in sixth grade right now? What grade are you in? Man, wait till he's in sixth grade. He almost caused us to lose the game a while ago. He just punched that raft and the balls fell. I'm like, bro, I said, I'm going to sit on you. How many of you right now have that sixth grader in your hotel room, in your youth group, that just drives you crazy? Go ahead and raise your hand. Raise your hand. Right? Hey, you used to be like that. But then all of a sudden, eighth grade comes around, ninth grade comes around, 10th grade, 11th grade, and all of a sudden we're 12th graders sitting in the back of the room, folding our arms up. Too cool for Sunday school. What you got from a youth pastor? What you got from your YP? YP, come on. Come on, YP. Give me something, YP. Come on, YP. What's up, YP? Come on. Give me something. Sitting in the back row. We think we're cool because we got a couple girls checking us out. We all that now because we shave with tweezers. We got a driver's license. We're driving a 1989 Ford pickup truck that your uncle has to fix every other week because it's a Ford. And we think we all that. And we all that. We all that. Can I tell you something? You know what I love? I love it when I see a junior or a senior as a leader of his youth group who's on fire for God. Who, you know what? When it right down, come boil down to it, doesn't worry about what everybody thinks about him. We're so worried about what people think. Can I tell you something? I'm not trying to be mean here, but if you don't like my sweater vest, I don't care. I really don't. If you think I got dorky pants on or dorky shoes on, I don't care. I'm getting old enough now. I don't have to worry about what I don't care no more, man. I've been married for almost 25 years. She thinks I'm beautiful. That's all that matters. Amen. She thinks I'm handsome, right? We are so worried about impressing people who will do nothing for us, and yet we forget that we can impress God who has been so good to us. We failed in that area. My son will turn 17 this April. When he turned 13, I surprised him because back then we liked the NBA back then. I don't care for the NBA that much anymore. Stephen Curry. I miss the old NBA. Jordan, Shaq, Barkley. This new NBA ain't all that for me, man. You know, all three-pointers. Everybody spread out, shooting threes all day. Nobody rebounds anymore, plays defense, right? But back then, we liked Russell Westbrook. I know they call him Westbrick now, but he was back then, he was a beast. So I surprised him. We went to the game. 18,000 people filled this arena. I even called the stadium ahead of time. They put his name up there. Happy 13th birthday, Grant Dignan. It was awesome. Just me and my son. We drove from Jeff City, Missouri to Oklahoma City that day, got some dinner, walked around the Oklahoma Sooner Stadium, drove over to the arena, went into the game, and me and Grant, my son, are sitting up there in the bleachers, and two grandmas came in right in front of us, sat right in front of us. Remember that, Grant? It's two 70-something-year-old grandmas. And they were playing the Warriors. I surprised me. It was a Thunder versus Warriors game. Stephanie Curry did not play that night. She was hurt again. But KD was there. Went to overtime or double overtime. It was awesome. Russell Westbrook scored 42 points that night. At one point of the game, Russell Westbrook drove the paint and did a monster dunk. I mean, the place went nuts. Yeah, those two grandmas in front of us, woo! I mean, they were dancing and shaking, and I'm like, please, Grandma, stop. They were fired up about a man who doesn't even know their name wearing silk pajamas dunking a ball in a 10-foot garbage can. But we end up in the Baptist now. My son looked at me and said, Father. I said, why, yes, son. Father, didst thou think that was a good dunk? Why, yes, son, I thought it was a fabulous dunk. Father, dost thou think we shall celebrate? Yes, son, let's celebrate. Ready? Pinkies up. Yay. Is that what we did? No. We shoved each other. We high-fived each other. I slapped Grandma on the face. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I mean, we were fired up. Everybody was excited because somebody who doesn't know my name slam dunked a ball. But we come to church and we come to youth conferences and someone sings about Jesus and someone preaches about how God has a plan for your life. And we can't even get you to burp. Right? Hey, I'm for passion on sports. I am. But be consistent. If you can be passionate about a leather ball, be passionate about Jesus. Be passionate about Jesus. Be excited. Be enthusiastic. I mean, it's church Sunday morning. It's church Sunday night. It's Sunday school time. It's youth conference time. Some of you might be up late tonight, tomorrow morning, but it don't matter. You get to come back to this conference. You get to be a part of something greater. And most of this world would love to have what we have tonight. They'd love to sit where you're sitting tonight. They'd love to hear what you've heard tonight. But thank God, hey, if we'd have a generation of young people that'll get enthusiastic again about Jesus. Enthusiastic. Finally, number three, here's why we should go beyond. Because in God's plan, in God's will, in God's job for us, in God's desire for us, we will find true expression. True expression. Let me tell you one of the problems we have as Christians today. We don't express our gratitude like we should. In everything, give thanks for this will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Psalm 146 through Psalm 150, all five of those chapters start with praise you, Lord, and end with praise you, Lord. Psalm 150 has the word praise in it 13 times. Psalm 145 talks about blessing the Lord. I mean, the book of Psalms, the longest book of the Bible, is about praising and meditating and musing on God and appreciating God. Oh, we need to obey God. Oh, we need to love God. But may I say today, we ought to also enjoy God. God's a good God today. And may we become an expressive generation again of just saying thank you. Wow, God, I still live in the greatest country on this planet. I still live in the most amazing country on this planet. Yeah, I know America's got her issues, but bless God. Hey, America's still amazing. I got saved in this country. I got called to preach in this country. I get to live in this country. I've been blessed by all. I've been blessed beyond measure. I can't believe how good God has been to me. I can't believe the things he's done for me. Listen to me. We are so blessed, and yet we hardly ever express it. See, we're at the border now, and the devil says, don't go beyond her. Over yonder, I got something else for you. Over yonder, I got something planned for you. Over yonder, I got something better for you. It never works out that way. You know, God and devil go in opposite directions all the time. The devil gives you everything great at first, and it's all downhill from there. When Jesus turned the water to wine, when was that? At the end of the night. Jesus starts here, and it gets all better from there. The devil bombards our mind to corrupt our heart. God speaks to our heart to purify our mind. They're going opposite directions. And so may we have a generation of young men and young ladies who literally wake up almost every day saying, I can't wait to see what God has planned for me. And do you realize that right now the Bible actually gives you two wills of God for your life too? 1 Thessalonians 4. This is the will of God, that you abstain from fornication. Stay pure. Brother Brian, I was just studying this recently. CDC announced that 12% of young ladies ages 20 to 24 are virgin. And 14% of young men are virgin, 20 to 24. Lost public school kid, married a virgin. I married as a virgin. You say, how's that possible? I had a praying wife for me. If you've made that mistake, listen to me. God loves you and he forgives you. And he gives you another chance. God is a good God. And he wants you to look forward, not behind. But may I say to you today, God still desires purity. A young man that ought to respect a young lady enough to stay pure, to stay right. And young lady, if you have a boyfriend right now who's trying to smooch on you and get handsy with you, take your shoes off and pop him in the forehead in Jesus' name. And dump him and find a man that'll respect you. Stay with me now. Also, in 2010, Brother Russ, 5% of brides married as a virgin in America. Everybody's doing it. No, they ain't. A few weeks ago, I'm almost through. I'm doing good. Oh, yeah, I'm doing real good. I timed it. Oh, yeah, I'm just about through. I'm right at 33 minutes. I'll be done right on time. Several months ago, I was counseling a man. He hadn't been to our church yet. He's lost. I witnessed to him. At the end of the counseling session for anger management, that was funny, me teaching on anger management, but anyway, that's a whole other subject. As we were finishing up our counseling session, he looked at me and said, hey, Pastor, can I ask you a question that's off subject? I said, sure. He said, is homosexuality still a sin in the Bible? That's what he asked me. I know it's 2022. And I know what the presidents and governors and mayors say, and I know what teachers are saying in our public schools, and I know what everybody in Hollywood is saying. But last I checked, God's who we need to listen to. And God says it's still a sin. Then I looked at him and said, but can I tell you something? The sins of heterosexuality are committed a whole lot more than the sins of homosexuality. You realize that an NFL player recently had to renegotiate his contract so he could pay for the 9 children he's had with 8 different women? He's not a hero. Magic Johnson is not a hero. He's not. That's the world we're living in now, right? And this man looked at me and said, who still does that? Who still does? Who is pure still? I said, I was. My associate pastor was. I said, there's a lot of people still like that. And then he said this, you people exist? I said, yes, we do. You know why? Because when the devil says, go over yonder, you say, no, no, I'm going beyond her. And your peers and your friends say, come over here yonder. No, 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 I'm going beyond her. God's brought me to the border. God's brought me right to the edge. God's brought me right here. And nothing's going to change that. I'm going beyond her. Today, young person, I have a question for you. What are you going to do? God's brought you to the border. God wants to take you places you never dreamed you'd go. God wants to bless you like you never dreamed you'd be blessed. What are you going to do? You just going to go yonder? Or are you going to go beyonder? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well.